Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us. If you're online, glad that you're here wherever you might be in the country. And then if you're at Westonka or Bush Lake, I have, over the last 6 weeks, been spending a lot of time with all of you. I've enjoyed it, getting to know your stories. It's been a real blessing. If you're a guest today, just delighted that you're with us as well. I've wanted to say this for a number of weeks now. Shana Tova. It's the Hebrew expression for Happy New Year. And actually, there's an expansive expression of it. It's Shana Tova Umercha, which means Happy New Year. May it be a good, sweet year. For 2025, I wish you a good, sweet year. And Tova comes from a root word called Tov, just this little word. It's one of the richest words in the Bible. And it is so ludicrously small, just three little letters, but it is infinitely expansive in its impact in your lives personally. And I'm excited that we're going to launch this series. I have been for a number of months, eager to get to this given day. And you're familiar with this word because it's a Yiddish expression that we use all the time, mazel tov. That's the same. Good luck or congratulations. That's the word. And tov, for those that are guests, I choose a word and a verse each year that we sprinkle like salt and pepper throughout the course of the year, come back to it, just time to elevate expressions of who God is. And so Tov will be our theme word for 2025. It means good or goodness. As you heard in the video, something can be called Tov if it's beautiful, if it's agreeable, if it's desirable, but especially if it's life-giving. It's a life-giving phrase. As we go through these weeks, you'll see the life-giving power in this little word. In fact, it first appears in the creation story in Genesis 1, where God creates every day something new, something beautiful. At the end of every day, he says, it was tov, it was good. And when it comes to humanity, when he created you and me, it says, it was tov miod, it was very, very good. There's an emphasis. And I love the words of Kelsey Jennings, a student ministry speaker across the country. Her interpretation of that is, you are the best of the best of the very best that God has made. Did you get that? You are the best of the best of the very best of what God has made. And I take that in and go, then let's stop comparing ourselves to others. Seems to suck the good out of what God intended for us. And let's celebrate instead the flourishing that God intends, because we're created in his image, which was tov. It was tov miod, very, very good. And we're going to tether this to our theme verse. So again, for those who are guests, we choose a verse that we sprinkle in. It comes from one of the most loved and best known Psalms, Psalm 23. And I'm going to invite you, just to be sure that your wheels are moving. By the way, thank you for having the courage to come out in snow and ice and be here today. But I want to know that your mind is as engaged as the tires on the road. So you join me in unison and let's share the theme verse for 2025. David declares to God, surely your goodness, tov, and love will follow me all the days of my life. So these next 4 weeks, we will be spending our time in different expressions of this word, tov, and I'm very excited about January. I think God's going to do some amazing, beautiful things in our community and in your life. In fact, my message today is tov. Good is what God wants for you. It's what he wants for you. It's what he wants for you. Wherever you might be, tov is what God wants for you, and tov is what he wants to work in and through you. When we posture our lives of availability, we see him do magnificent things, tov kinds of things. And so we step into it with this invitation, and I have a question. I've probably asked this question, I don't know, half a dozen times a year. There's certain things you'll notice I repeat, because expression deepens impression. I'm very intentional about it. And every time that I raise this question, I always get a verbal response. Hint. I always get a verbal response. Here's the question, and then I'm going to put a little twist on it. Do you believe that God is at work around your life every day? Yes. At all of our campuses, one more time, do you believe that God is at work around your life every day?
Yes.
Now, I've put a little tweak to this. Do you believe, and this one you don't have to answer out loud, answer in your head. Do you believe that the work God is doing around you every day is tov, is good? And are you cultivating that perspective, that understanding, that way of life into your daily journey? We want to help you. 2025, we want to give you a gift today. If you're at any of our campuses, if you're online, you can speak with our host that's online. But we want to present to you, it's a beautiful journal called the Tov Journal. And it's got embossed on the front the name Tov, good, because it's what he wants for you. And here was the thought. If God is indeed working good around us every day, what would happen if we would open our eyes to see it? If we would open our hearts to receive it? If we would open our hand with a pen and record it? And if we would open our hands to share it? What would happen in your life if every day you took a journal and recorded one good thing that God did in this given day? If you believe that God is working good around you every day, what if you recorded it in your journal, your Tov journal? And I know some of you are thinking, I don't journal. Okay. Did I have a little attitude around that? I don't journal. I get it. Everybody can write one sentence in a journal. One, if God is at work and you just wrote one sentence a day, he's doing much more than one good thing in your life every day. If you just put one sentence, what do you think would happen? There would be waves of goodness that would rush over your life personally, your family. And what would happen to a church that says every day we're going to pay attention to the good that God is working in and around us every day, to see it, to receive it, to record it, and then to, with open hands, share it? I think we're going to see waves of goodness come over us in 2025. And who doesn't want waves of goodness to come into your life? We all do. And that's going to be the invitation. And you'll receive this gift when you leave our campuses. The ushers will be giving them to you. Again, online, you can take that in. I also think, man, could we move the needle in a culture where there's been heightened agitation, it seems like, for a decade? Could we move it to this beautiful expression of hilarious flourishing? Could we see God do such an amazing work in our lives personally and collectively as the church that when we get to December 2025, we're actually going to sing and dance, a Scandinavian dance, but it's going to be a dance because I don't dance much anymore, but man, I can move a little here or there, and I'm Scandinavian, so it's very fitting. It's a beautiful dance, just a little shuffle. I'm going to back it in. I just think there's going to be so much goodness, you guys, if we step into this together. If we say, yeah, I do believe God is working, and I see it, and I receive it, no, into my heart, and I record it, and then I share it, what a year, 2025, I think will be for us. So I think expect these waves of goodness. In fact, just a couple of instructions related to it. We have the journal is available through the generosity of a couple here at Westwood. I'll share that story in another service, an amazing story, who have purchased this gift for you, and I'm grateful for them. And it's available to every middle school student and above. You can pick up that Tov journal. If you have young kids, we have a Tov bracelet. And you can include them in your journal. You certainly can do that as well. And if you're online, our host will help you. If you're in the Twin Cities online, we're going to ask you to come to our campus to pick that up. If you're in another state, speak to the host and we'll send you a Tov journal. But we started to think, oh my, if you're giving, it's a beautiful journal. And it includes 21 days of prayer. Actually, it's 27 days of prayer. And the rhythm of life that we have, because it takes 21 days to start a habit. So start January. It's a very simple expression. We're taking a Tov text in the script, in the Bibles, and then having an opportunity for you just to cultivate that in your life for 21 days. But I get the draft of it from our team, our discipleship team here, and there's 27 days. Why are there 27 days? And he goes, 21 days to create a habit, but we're not always good on making every day, so they threw a few extra days in there for you in case you miss one or two to cultivate it over time. And I think you'll be blessed in that. And then there's a prayer at the bottom of every single page because we need the reminder. We get so distracted. We need the reminder. And it is, Lord, surprise me with goodness today. Do you believe that God is working around you every day? Good? I do too. See it. Receive it, record it, and then share it. That's the journey. And who doesn't love a good surprise? We don't like bad surprises, like when you fill out your taxes and you thought you're going to get a refund and instead you got to pay in $2,000, bad outcome. You don't want that. We want good surprises. I've been looking at my journals over the last couple of weeks. Our communication team for our 30th anniversary wants me to call out a few little statements through the years. And I'm glad to do that, but I've come across some great nuggets. And one of them relates to the surprise of God's goodness, revealed in the surprise of one of our kids who was off to college in Florida. And we hadn't seen him for a long time. And every parent's heart longs to see their kids again. But it had been a long time. And on this particular day, we had all gone to bed. The other kids were in bed. Carrie and I were in bed. And sure enough, somehow, he makes his way to Minnesota from Florida. We have no idea he's coming. He opens up our bedroom door and says, "Surprise, it's me." And I journaled all of this. And Carrie immediately jumped up out of bed, and she screamed, and she laughed, and she cried all in about 60 seconds. And I go, this is the way of God. He surprises us with his goodness, and sometimes we scream because we didn't see that coming. And sometimes we laugh because it is utterly fantastic. And sometimes we cry because you're with me, God. Oh, I really need you. You showed up for me. That's the beauty of what God gives to us. And Psalm 23 is this psalm that David writes, and he declares Tov, surprised by the goodness of God who shows up in our life. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to look at this psalm today. I'm going to take it apart for you and let you see some of the layers of beauty that are in it. But I want you to understand that David isn't talking about a pie in the sky, a Pollyannish kind of goodness of God. Understand his context. David has known enemies and opposition. David has known failure. He has known loss. He's lost some of his best friends, and they've died and left him dealing with that loneliness and that pain and that grief. He's known difficulty, as difficult as anything you've ever had in your life, and he pens this poetry, this beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, in testimony to the Tov, the good of God. And I say that because I'll hear this phrase every once in a while, and I'm sure I've used it as well. When something so amazingly good happens, we go, oh, God is so good. But when life is really hard and there's deep pain and suffering, we're not as quick with that expression, God is really good. But you know this, don't you? That God is good all the time. In the hardest of days, in the best of days, God is good. Would you just say those three words with me? God is good. Some of you are in a really hard place right now. I know you are. Some of you are in a fantastic place right now. It's the same God, and he's good, and he meets us. And that's what this psalm ultimately is all about. And I'm delighted that we can step into it. In fact, why do we love this psalm so much? I think we love it because it brings comfort. It does not minimize pain or loss or grief. It doesn't minimize it. It offers this comfort. Oh, we love this psalm. It's best known, probably best recited psalm of all the psalms that we have. But it also gives hope. It doesn't presume that because you're a good person that your life will be easy. Like, why would that happen to me? Like, I should be set apart because I'm good. But it does offer us a hope. It paves a path for hope when we're hard-pressed to look for it, but he's the one who offers it to us. It reminds us of the goodness, the tov of God in the frost of adversity, whatever that adversity might be, that we have this precious assurance that he is with me. He is with me. There's no greater gift in your life than to know that beautiful truth, that God Almighty is with me. And so we step into this psalm, and David writes the psalm with two metaphors, two different pictures. It's like God is coloring, and he's using David to color the picture. There's a picture of shepherd and sheep in the psalm, and it's only six verses. It's only 15 lines. And then there's another picture that God colors for David to give to us, and that is of host and guest. The first four verses really land on shepherd and sheep. So let's put it up together. And because the tires hit the road and your mind is fully engaged, would you, in unison, at all of our campuses, recite this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths of his namesake. This is the God who is with us. And you notice right off the bat that it includes three my's, two me's, and one I. In other words, it's like David has given us his journal. And no, in your homes, you probably don't read each other's journals. But we've been given a journal of David, and it's like we can open it up and see the specifics of God and his tov and how he's worked in his life. And you'll notice also here that there are four he's. He speaks of the Lord is our shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores me. He guides me. So you get this picture in the journal. It's so very personal of the story of David intimately intertwined with the story of God, that God's story and our stories are intertwined together for all of us. So you can have a personal relationship with the living God Almighty. It's what sets him apart from every God that has ever been created. We get to know God, and God knows us. That's the beauty of it. And it's so very personal. It starts out with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And you'll notice right away that the Lord is in caps. When we translate from the Hebrew into the English, we don't have equivalents always, so we distinguish it. In this case, a name of God has many different names, but it's capitalized here when it refers to Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God that represents the personal name of God. He's a personal God. We can have personal relationship with him. In other words, if you have in your mind that God is distant, way out there some way, get rid of that notion. No, he is not nameless. He is not faceless. He is the shepherd. He is present. He is with us. That's the weight of what you get here. And so when you borrow back into the Hebrew ancestry, you find that most of those people were nomads. They were shepherds. And they loved every lamb. And they protected every lamb. They were intimately connected to those sheep. And we're caught into this beautiful picture of poetry that David is referring to this God, trying to give, how do you give language to the Almighty, sovereign God of all things? He is a shepherd, because we can understand a shepherd, and David himself was a shepherd, and so he steps into it. And if you're a Christ follower, you can't help but think about Jesus Christ, because he applies these words to himself in the New Testament. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the chief shepherd. I am the great shepherd of the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice," he says. "I know them, and they follow me." We follow because we know it's a good voice. It's a loving voice. If it was a bad voice, we wouldn't follow. No, we follow because we know it's good. And you can hear that even in the intonation of the text that is before us. This is Tov. He makes me, or when we can personally take upon ourselves and say, "The Lord is my shepherd," when you can say that to yourself, it brings the assurance of a consequence. I lack nothing. I lack nothing. This one is a difficult piece to wrap your head around because of the reality of our lives. Dallas Willard, great philosopher, Christian thinker, passed away not too long ago. He wrote a book on Psalm 23. Called Life Without Lack, that with God, you can have a life without lack. And immediately inside, we have resistance and say, how can that be? Because I have a lot of lack. I lack, maybe in your world, it's money or opportunity, or I lack healthy relationship, or I lack peace or purpose in life. You could go on, fill in the blanks. But most everybody here would say, oh, I lack something. And what Dallas Willard is calling us to is David's expression that I lack nothing. And you immediately go, David, what world were you living in? This is what Dallas Willard says. He says, David is living in the most real world, the world where Yahweh is present, alive, and actively involved in the lives of those who know him and trust him. Dallas Willard began his day every day in Psalm 23. And he would just take one line and he'd have it for breakfast. He'd just chew it over. It was so life-giving for him because Tov is life-giving. Every day, cultivated his soul with this beautiful little passage. And we're reminded that we we have lack, but with the presence of the Lord, we lack nothing. So what is it you feel you lack? In the presence of the Lord, let him satisfy that lack. He has his own ways. They're very creative, very innovative when we align ourselves with him, especially in the hardest realities of life. This is Tov. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What a great picture. And I love the verb here. He makes me lie down in green pastures, because sometimes we just need to rest and we never rest. So he helps us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. And it's interesting to me that he uses nature and color to reveal his tov. It's really a beautiful thing when you think that we have blue skies and we have green pastures and we have green leaves and we have green blue waters. Let's not take that for granted, friends. That did not just evolve from nothing into something. God created it for us to be good. That the palette of those colors speaks to us in a very personal and profound way. Why is it that Minnesotans go north in the summer and south in the winter? Why do we go to mountains and to the seas for vacation? Why do we do that? There's something intrinsically in us that longs for the calm, the rest, the refreshment of nature and the beautiful colors. Oh, the sky is different every day. Take and behold the beauty of the Lord and what he indeed provides for us. And we just, Carrie and I, experienced this recently. Right before Christmas, we have longtime friends, and we wanted to greet them. We went to their home for Christmas. Unfortunately, he's battling a life-threatening cancer. And our heart's with him. So we got to be with them. We laughed together. But we also prayed together. And I said, what is it that we can pray for? And he said something I thought was really pronounced. He said, I'm waiting for clearance to go to Florida so I can go sit on a beach. So we prayed, God, give the clearance so he can go to Florida and sit on the beach. And God answered that prayer. 2 weeks ago, they landed in Florida, and they took a picture and sent it to us as evidence, and I put it up here and say, here he is, calmly, cup of tea, taking in the blue sky, the lapping ocean, the soft sand, and a sunset that just says, being that it's snowing here, let's go. Let's go to Florida. And they're joining us online today. Know that we're with you, praying for you, and wishing you the best on this day, that the peace of the Lord would be with you, that the calm, the palates of that given context would be life-giving. It is for all of us. And I go back to the passage. He makes me lie down in green pastures, but I love the verb in the next line. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. We know that water has a healing, refreshing quality to it. He leads me. I love this word that he leads me, because sheep need to be led. I know in the metaphor, you know that you're the sheep, right? We don't deal with a lot of that today, but you're the sheep. I'm the sheep with you. And he is the shepherd. And we find that sheep need to be led. We need to be led. Cattle need to be driven. We need to be led. And how God in his way brings this to us is extraordinary. He leads us. It's a very intimate expression. He is before us. He is ahead of us. He has eyes to see what you cannot see. And some of your stress factors today are the uncertainty related to tomorrow. What's ahead? What's going to happen? I just want to tell you, you have a shepherd who can see. And he leads the way so that you can follow, because we need to follow the leadership of the Lord as he gives himself to us. And I'm grateful that he does. Follow me, Jesus says. We go into the New Testament. You know that he says that 21 times, follow me. And it different reasons, follow me to do this or do that. But one of the things that occurs more than once is, follow me and you will gain the treasures of heaven. Not when you get to heaven alone, but heaven is on earth now. We experience the treasures of God here. Do you believe that God is at work around you every day doing good? Those are the treasures of heaven. See it, receive it, record it, share it, and watch the waves of goodness wash over you and your family and us as a church as we enter into that arena. This is Tov. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Not the wrong paths. We find those on our own. In fact, we have this in God, an internal GPS. And I'm so grateful. As a people, we've become dependent on GPS. I don't know how we functioned 15 years ago without GPS. But Carrie and I went to a neighborhood to look at Christmas lights. It was a neighborhood we'd never been in before. It was a weird neighborhood. Streets this way, that way. We got in the middle of this thing. We go, how do we get out of here? We GPS, put it on. Take a U-turn, we were told and instructed. We got onto the right path. We had an appointment. We barely made it on time for the appointment because we got lost and a little derailed. Friends, you need a GPS in your life just to get around town. You need, for sure, a GPS that is God to get around life. And he provides that GPS for us. And what a gift that he gives to us in it. It's part of the Tov of God. In fact, a verse that I repeat, I have this little axiom that expression deepens impression. So I'll come back and repeat things. And you're going, you know, Joel, you already said that. Yeah, I'm real intentional about that, by the way. Because we need to hear it again and again. Expression deepens our impression. It's from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight, right. You don't know where to go. Be with him. It tells us three things. What to do, trust in the Lord. What not to do, lean not on your own understanding. You will be derailed. You will get lost. But acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. He'll make it right. Oh, the right path of God is filled with tov and goodness. And we want to embrace that in our journey all along the way. So I think the primary message here is important. It's not that bad things won't happen to us. They do. They do happen to us. But the good shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd. He's right there in the middle of it. We're never left alone. Or you may think to yourself, I think the primary message is not that he will come alongside and that we will get lost and derailed and that he'll be absent. Sometimes it feels like God is absent. No, he is there and he will get us onto that right path. That's the deal. You know, we teach our children this prayer. Why this came to mind when I was putting the message together, I don't know, but it's a prayer that's a well-known prayer that we teach to our children. And you know the prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Do you think by any chance we outgrow that prayer? We teach it to our children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's a lifelong prayer. To remind me, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down. Some of you just need to lie down. You may have to go to Florida for the green pasture, but you can lie down in other ways too. He leads me and he restores me and he guides my path. That's the gift that we have, and what a beautiful gift. Even in the hardest of times, and if that's you, my heart goes out to you. God is with you in it. But the psalm, which is so familiar with you, comes here. And because your tires got onto the road today at all of our campuses, your minds are fully engaged. In unison, join me. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. They comfort me. Many of you know this psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That was in the King James Version when it was first translated, but it's not the best application of the Hebrew. This reflects it better. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. It's interesting that Psalm 23 ends up being at many funerals recited there because we think it's about dying. But the psalmist wasn't dying. He just felt like he was dying. And so, yeah, the dark shadow or valley that we walk through is death, but it's not the only one we walk through because there are addictions some of us have. It's shadow in your life and your relationships. It's broken relationships that we have. It's health. It's money. It's the dark shadows are real. And he's acknowledging, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I want to call out here again the verb because it's so important. When you're in that kind of dark valley place, walk, walk. Everything in us wants to run through the dark valley, but we're called to walk through it because when we walk through it, not that we unpack our suitcase there, no, we keep moving forward, but we walk through the valley because something happens to us. We see things differently when we walk. We listen differently. We hear the whispers of God. When he's trying to do a good work, even in the midst of deep pain and suffering, we hear differently, and I become more self-aware about who I am in the presence of this God. I become more God-aware of who he is and how he meets me and provides for me, not always in the way that I would expect or want, but he is there, and he's leading and guiding, and I tuck myself into his mighty right hand, and I receive that beautiful blessing. This is Tov. That even though I walk through that place, I will fear no evil. What a picture that is. I think it's important that David is not saying, I will fear no evil because there is no evil. I don't think David is saying, I will fear no evil because I'm a good person, and certainly evil goes to bad persons, not to good persons. No, he's saying, I will fear no evil because there is evil. And we see that every day around us as well. And David is saying, I'm susceptible to this evil, but I will not fear. Because nobody can take me. No evil, no force of darkness can take me from the mighty right hand of God. He is tethered to the presence of the Lord and the provision of the Lord, no matter what it is he's going through. And so we need to learn that from each other because we have fears that pop up. I think about our little four-year-old granddaughter whose name is Charlie. She's a beautiful little girl, but she's experiencing now, as she's growing, fears when she goes to bed. We had a thunderstorm. She was at our house this past summer. It was a nasty, heavy, heavy rain, lightning, thunder, blasting, and she got really scared. It's like our old dog who's now passed away used to, you know, hide during that whole deal. She was doing the same thing. And I said, you know, Charlie, you don't have to be afraid. And I shared with her the words from Joshua 1:9, where God commanded us to be courageous and not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Be courageous, Charlie. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for I am with you wherever you go. And so I go, how do I teach this to a four-year-old? And I go, well, okay, how about this? It's storming outside. We opened up the front door. There's a little canopy in our front stoop. So we just sat on that front stoop under the canopy so we were protected. And the rain's coming down. There's a lightning over there. And I go, oh, now count 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And then there's this boom of thunder that comes. And you can count all of it, right? So we're doing that. We make a game out of it. But I go, do you realize what God was commanding us? He was saying, I am strong and courageous, but I used it in the four-year-old language. I said, Charlie, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. I bet we repeated it 50 times. If she comes over to our house and she gets scared about something, I go, what do you think God says about that? And she's so cute. She goes, be strong and courageous. When she's 90, she's going to be doing that. I just have that. Friends, we don't have to be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous in the presence of a mighty God who is doing tov wherever we are. That's the first graphic picture. The second graphic picture for us is of host and guest. He is our host. We are his guest. And we come to these last verses and we'll wrap it up. Oh, because your tires hit the road and because your mind is fully engaged. In unison, at all of our campuses, join me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What poetry. It is so magnificent and so beautiful. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God is a table God. He sets a table for us. It is not a secret table. It is a seen table. Even the enemies, those who oppose us, see the tov of God. In other words, that God is intent on doing so much good in our life. We're drenched with his goodness. And even when we're opposed and our enemies are coming against us, we are steadfast and sure in the presence of God who is with us. And therefore, they can see. How are our lives not more disrupted because of the difficulty we're going through? Because we believe that God is tov and that his goodness helps us navigate. Yes, we have to work through a lot of issues, but we are steadfast and secure, and we are assured in this beautiful table we get to sit at, which, by the way, a day will come, we will all sit at the banquet feast of God Almighty. And here's a glimpse of what is before us. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That oil is this symbolic gesture of favor that I think about Nehemiah. When Nehemiah is facing resistance to build the temple again, and he's asked by Jewish leaders, those who are opposing him, what makes you think you'll ever be successful? And he says, because the gracious hand of God is upon me. I don't know that there's a more personal question to ask yourself right now than that. Do you believe the gracious hand of God is upon you? That's favor. That's anointing. He anoints you with oil, with his favor, is what he says. And my cup overflows. David is giving this picture of gratitude. It just keeps coming. It's not a simple thank you note. No, there's not enough words to express the overflowing nature of God's tov and goodness. And so he comes to our theme verse for 2025. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Some of you learn this verse, surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because that word love or mercy comes from the Hebrew word ahava. It's an intertwining of both of those words together, that that his goodness and his love will follow me. That word is ahava, love. And in Hebrew, it's the word of love that makes you feel wanted. It makes you feel wanted, like you belong. The ahava, love of God. His goodness and love will follow me. The English follow is just so short again, because in the Hebrew, it's got a lot of weight and intensity. It will run after you. It will pursue you. It'll chase after you. So now we have God who can see ahead what we cannot see, leading our way and coming from behind and chasing us with tov. I mean, do you believe that God is working around you every day? Believe that. And then with your eyes, see it. And with your hearts, receive it. And with your hand, record it. And with your hands, share it with others, because God's tov is at work around us all. Do we really believe it? Do you really believe it? Yes, I do too. Then let's discipline our disappointments and step into a place where we can just welcome the tov and the good of God and see the needle move from heightened agitation to this hilarious kind of flourishing, so we could come back in December and we could sing and dance a Scandinavian dance. And I'm so excited about that dance with you. That's in December. So here's the truth. This is the Lord our shepherd. He goes before us to guard us, to show us the way. He pursues us from behind to lift us up when we fail. He comes along beside us to encourage us, because he knows we need some encouragement. I pray today that you will have received the encouragement of the Lord. He is your shepherd. See him and receive him. Record one sentence a day, his goodness, and share it with others, and watch the wave of God's goodness come to you. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, thank you for the gift of life and love revealed to us in Jesus, for being our shepherd. And the want of our heart is for good. And you created us with tov, that it's what you want for us. So would you posture our lives with a discipline that would allow our eyes to see, a humility that would allow our hearts to receive, with a diligence that would allow our pens to record, and with a generosity that would open our hands to share your good that we have received. It wasn't intended for us alone, but to be given to others, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for your good that is at work around us every day. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Friends, I have a simple blessing for you. Shana Tova. May you have a sweet and good year. And may you see it and receive it and record it, and then bless others by sharing it. I'm going to invite you to stand, and as you do, the prayer team will come forward, because I can only assume that maybe along the way with these words, the Lord may have touched something in you to say, I could use a word of encouragement or prayer. Could you take advantage of that? This prayer team is available. The power of prayer is a gift that we want to take advantage of. When you leave, please pick up your Tov journal. And if you want to purchase, so these are available to the Westwood family. Can I just say this? Because we thought there might be some who want to come and take 10 journals. We don't have that. But you can go to the table. You can purchase a journal for $10 if you have somebody in mind you'd like to give them one. But when you leave, it's free to you. Be blessed. Have a great day, a great week, and go Vikings.